The following program is a production of Chilling Entertainment and the creative team at Chilling Tales for Dark Nights, and a proud member of the Simply Scary Podcast Network. Visit simplyscarypodcast.com to learn more about this and our other weekly storytelling programs, and become a patron today to show your support and get instant access to our extensive archive of downloadable tales of terror. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the show. Disclaimer. Horror Hill is a horror anthology podcast bringing you scary stories from all corners of the internet and beyond. As such, certain stories include content that some listeners might find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. Hello there, listeners, and welcome back to Horror Hill. As always, I'm your host and narrator, Eric Peabody. And tonight, we're going to be featuring an author that's new to the show, Matthew Shaw. Matthew's story is titled The Patient. Claire is a young nurse with a fiancé that she loves deeply. They both work nights, driving to work together and generally spending as much time with each other as possible. Tonight, however, Claire's shift is going to change her life on a fundamental level. You see, Claire has to watch a patient during this shift, a patient with no name that's been strapped to a hospital bed to prevent her from hurting herself and others. And if that wasn't enough, this Jane Doe asks Claire a lot of personal, troubling questions. And when Claire stops answering, well, Jane seems to know more about Claire than she initially let on. You're listening to the free edition of this program. If you'd like to help support Horror Hill and also remove these pesky ads, head to chillingtalesfordarknights.com and click Patrons in the upper menu to sign up today. You'll get instant access to hundreds of ad-free stories, so what are you waiting for? Also, if you're watching on YouTube, do us a favor and drop a like and subscribe. Become part of our dark circle, listeners. And now, from author Matthew Shaw, I give you The Patient. My God, I hate hospitals, Derek said as he slowly stopped the car just outside the fluorescent-lit front doors. Are you going to tell me that every time you drop me off at work? Claire giggled in the passenger seat as she was collecting her things to leave. Yep. And I will continue to do so to prove my level of communication skill to you, my dear. Isn't that what all women want? He said sarcastically and shot her a look to go along with it. This resulted in a punch in the arm from Claire, who was now in the middle of tying her hair up. Jesus, I hope you're gentler with your patients, Derek exclaimed, rubbing his arm. Oh, you get the special treatment, believe me. Having finished tying her hair up and picking up her backpack, Claire put her hand on the door handle, preparing to leave. Okay, thank you for the ride, and you'll be picking me up at 7? Claire asked. I don't know, your communication skills have a lot to be desired. Derek answered back, jokingly. Claire acted like she was going to punch him again, but he flinched and put his hands up. Okay, I'll get you at 7. They both laughed, leaned in for a kiss, and exchanged I love yous. Claire got out of the car. She turned to face the front doors before taking a deep breath in. Another night in paradise it is, then, she thought to herself before walking forward and activating the automatic sliding doors. It was 6:45 in the evening, so there was a load of hustle and bustle going on, people coming in for visiting hours to see loved ones. Taking it all in, Claire plugged in her headphones and proceeded to walk in the direction of her ward. Hospitals are really insane places. You get people who are sick or injured, so they come to a place where the staff genuinely want to help them, but for some of them, that's not good enough. Whether out of fear, frustration, discomfort, or all of the above, some people think they should be taking it out on the very people that are trying to help. At the same time, you have people going through the heartbreak of a lost loved one, people receiving good news that their loved one is cancer-free. It's a place where you can watch every single human emotion play out if you pay attention. Claire, having been a nurse now for 5 years, was all too familiar with these emotions and had built up a wall to them in some ways. Not all, but some. She still struggled seeing kids upset over losing Granny or when a wife lost her husband of 50 years. These were things she still could take home with her and think about on nights when she couldn't sleep. When she had first started, one of the senior nurses had found her hysterically crying in the staff room after a particularly hard day. She had stood Claire up, wiped her face, and gently told her one of the best pieces of advice she'd ever gotten. "Feel empathy for these people, but do not feel sympathy for them. With all the heartache, pain, and suffering we see in here every day, if we took that all home with us, we wouldn't be able to get out of bed in the morning from the depression. So always empathize with them, sweetie. Don't sympathize." So that's what Claire tried to do every day. But some days, it was impossible. Claire, down to her very core, was a kind and caring person. Since she was 12 years old, she always knew she wanted to help people. That all began when Claire and her dad got into a drunk driving accident. He passed away, and she, by some miracle, survived. She was powerless to do anything then, and she wanted to change that for good. She arrived at her ward and headed straight to the nurse's station, where all the day shift staff were running around trying to organize for the handover to the back shift team. The shift ran from 7 in the evening until 7 in the morning. Claire had always found that the night shift was better. Not by much, but better. At first, the night shift had taken a toll on her and Derek's relationship. But as he was supportive of her career, he decided to change jobs and work nights so that their schedules worked in sync. She always wondered if he resented her for that, but Derek repeatedly assured her that he was fine with it, and that as long as he got to spend time with her, then all was right with the world. So he worked the night and then picked her up when they both finished. They went home and got into bed and slept the daylight hours away together. Claire approached the nurse's station and was greeted by her friend Heather, who gave her a look that made her feel uneasy. "You're not going to like this," Heather exclaimed as she got closer.
"Oh, hi, Claire. You look wonderful. Or have you lost weight?"
"Would have been much better ways to greet me for the start of my shift, not going to lie," Claire retorted. Heather laughed and said,
"Well, you're not going to like this, and you're looking a little puffy. How about that?"
Claire just rolled her eyes and sat her bag on the desk.
"Okay, so the patient in room 3 is an observation shift." "Oh, come on," Claire interrupted. "Why do I need to sit with them? Let one of the newer ones do that. Let them learn what it's like. I've done my time," she moaned. "I know that, but Jessica wants you because she wants someone with experience that's done them before," Heather calmly explained, like she would to an unhappy patient. "And she thought you were the best choice."
"Jessica and her infinite fucking wisdom, as always." Jessica was the senior nurse on the day shift. She and Claire just so happened to hate one another, and she was a big reason why Claire had moved to the night shift in the first place.
"That one hates my guts. Anything to make my life harder," Claire said before collapsing down into a desk chair. She took the patient files from her friend's hand. "So, what's the reason for there to be 24-hour observation?" she asked.
"Well," Heather said as she sat on the office chair next to her, "for starters, she's a Jane Doe."
"Well, that's interesting," Claire thought to herself. It wasn't every day that you got an unidentified person that was still breathing, let alone in your care.
"She won't tell anyone who she is," Heather continued. "No idea where she comes from, parents' names, nothing."
"Okay, so why isn't she in psych?" Claire asked while thumbing through the file.
That's the thing. No one can get near her enough to move her," Heather explained.
This caused Claire to look up from the paperwork, and she could have slapped the taste out of Jessica's mouth if she had been standing there in front of her. "She's violent!" she half yelled. "Oh, great! She wants me to sit with a violent patient for the whole shift. What could possibly go wrong?" She threw down the paperwork in disgust. "Look, I know you're upset. I was too, but she's been secured to the bed tightly and there's no way she's getting out. But she is a danger to herself and others, and she needs to be supervised. She's already bitten a hole in her own forearm and pulled a lot of her hair out, so she needs to be protected from herself." "And what about the ones that tried to move her? What happened to them?" Claire asked, growing more and more angry at the situation with each passing second. This time, instead of being confrontational back, Heather seemed sheepish and looked away. Her legs started bouncing, like when someone was preparing to tell you something that they really didn't want to. "She, clawed an orderly's face. He needed 14 stitches. Claire put her head in her hands and had to stop herself from screaming highly unprofessional language. She slid her hands back down and put them in a praying motion in front of her mouth and sighed. Finally, she asked, "And she's fully strapped into the bed?" "Yeah, it took 4 security and 2 of us, but we got there in the end," Heather quietly replied. "Okay, well, there isn't much else for it. We move," Claire said, trying to sound confident, but she knew it didn't really work. The day shift finished off the rest of the handover and left. Members of the public were coming in and out of the ward for visiting hours, and people were asking questions as they walked past the station. Claire hung about longer than she knew she should, because the reality was, she was just trying to waste time before having to face the inevitable. Eventually, with as much hesitation as a cautious animal, she pushed open the door to room 3. What greeted Claire, much to her surprise, was a young, thin woman, maybe 5 or so years older than herself. She had long black hair and was about average height, from what Claire could judge, for someone lying in bed. What wasn't right about her was everything else. Her nails were long, yellow, and pointed like claws. Her skin was an ungodly shade of pale, and she had bald patches from where hair had been pulled out, and scars and fresh scratches adorned her face. However, what struck Claire most of all was her eyes. They were the palest shade of blue Claire had ever seen, but were also bloodshot so badly it was hard to make out the whites of her eyes. She had not taken those eyes off Claire since she had walked into the room, not even so much as a blink. With the same level of hesitancy, Claire approached the bed. She spotted the straps on each of the girl's arms and felt a slight bit of relief. They were the heavy-duty straps, 2 on each arm. The girl couldn't move herself towards her if she wanted to. Under one strap on her forearm, Claire could make out the bite the girl had taken out of herself, just poking out the smallest amount. She looked up at the girl, who still hadn't taken those piercing eyes off her for even a second. "Hi, I'm Claire, and I'll be the one looking after you tonight," she said, trying to sound more confident than she actually was. The girl just stared at her, emotionless. "So," Claire continued, "I believe you're having trouble remembering your name, so I'll just refer to you as Jane, if that's okay with you." Claire forced a smile to try and ease the tension. In a surprisingly sweet and innocent-sounding voice, the girl replied, "Jane? I like that." This was a welcome surprise, Claire thought. Jane flashed a smile, and Claire had to put on her best poker face not to react to what she was seeing. Jane's teeth looked rotten and had pieces of what Claire assumed was her own skin from the bite she'd taken out of herself earlier. "Sit down, please," Jane requested, to which Claire obliged, sitting on the chair beside the bed, but not close enough to be within reaching distance should the worst happen. She got comfortable and started to speak. "So, do you have any memory—" "Let's talk about you, Claire," Jane interrupted. "Tell me, what made you become a nurse?" She almost sounded demanding. Claire stuttered a little. This had caught her off guard. "Well, I want to help people that need help," she replied. "Is that it?" Jane said, sounding slightly disgusted. Just to help people? Well, yes. I enjoy helping people through hard times, she explained. Jane scoffed. Claire never told anyone that her real reason was because of her dad. She kept that to herself. That was her personal motivation, and she wanted to keep it that way. The only person in the whole world that knew was Derek. Do you enjoy watching people suffer, Claire? Do you enjoy watching them in their final moments, hearing their cries of pain, begging for the sweet release of death? I thought you might. Why else would you do this? You enjoy their suffering, Claire, the Jane Doe said, still in the sweet voice from earlier, but now there was something behind it, something dark. The next few hours passed more slowly than any in Claire's life. Jane's constant questioning about Claire's life was getting to her, to the point that she was telling her information just to shut her up. She wasn't dumb enough to make it too personal, though, just little things here and there to get her off her back and move on. Whenever Claire tried to get any information out of Jane, or asked if she needed the bathroom or any assistance, it was met with either a question or that cold, dead, soul-piercing stare that made the hairs on her neck stand on end. Finally, after a grueling few hours, one of her colleagues came in to give her a break. Claire was more than happy to let someone else take over, but promised she would be back in half an hour. Claire, who was usually the social type and would eat her food with the other nurses at the station, went and sat alone in an empty patient room. She texted Derek and asked him how his shift was going. They texted back and forth for a while, but she couldn't find peace. The feeling of unease and of what her night had been up to that point was haunting her. Once the half hour was up, Claire returned to room 3. She took a deep breath and began reaching for the door handle when the door suddenly swung open. The colleague that had been covering her nearly knocked her to the ground as she rushed past, crying and weeping loudly. Claire watched as she ran down the hallway, around a corner, and out of sight. Claire looked into the room to see Jane still fully strapped to her bed, but sitting more upright and flashing that hideous, decrepit smile at her. What happened here? Is she okay? Claire asked, both confused and alarmed. Oh, she's fine, said Jane. We just had a little talk about things. I'm glad you're back, Claire. She wasn't as fun as you. Weaker, and there's no fun in that. Claire didn't know what to do. She wanted to run out the doors of the ward and never come back, to just run out and tell Derek she couldn't do it anymore, and they would work it out together. As all these thoughts raced through her mind, she heard, "Sit." Claire, not knowing how or why or for what reason, did. It was like some force was pulling her in and she had no control over herself. She couldn't tell if it was curiosity or something else. The talk started again, the questions coming just like earlier. This went on for hours, with the questions becoming more twisted as time went on. Claire, surprising herself, hung in until she saw her watch reach 6:30 a.m. She could finally leave for the handover. Thank God, she thought. She put on her best forced smile and poker face again. Well, it's been an interesting evening with you, Jane. I'm sure they'll have you moved on and in a better fitting ward later on today, okay? Claire got up to walk out.
Why, thank you, Claire,
Jane Doe said in a sarcastic tone.
I'll be sure to tell Jackie you're not as big of a disappointment as he says you are.
Claire froze dead in place. What did you just say? She asked, feeling like all the air had left her lungs and her stomach had turned to ice. She spun to face the bed. Jane was sitting with a huge smile on her face.
Well, we call him Smashy Jackie because, you know, he can't drive worth a shit. But he isn't proud of you, Claire. You are a disappointment to him. In his eyes, you're a worthless, spoiled little fucking brat.
Jane said while giggling. Claire stood frozen. Of all the questions and answers from tonight, she knew she had never mentioned her dad or his name, not even once. Just then, the door swung open and Heather emerged.
"Hey, it's time for the handover. Let's go," she told her.
"Right. Yeah, of course," Claire stuttered out. Jane Doe was still sitting up, staring with unblinking eyes and that horrific yellow smile. Claire wanted to scream every horrible thing she could at her, but she knew she couldn't with the door open, where everyone in the ward could hear. She slowly started walking out of the room, not taking her eyes off of the evil in the bed, who returned the favor and began to wave with her fingers as high as the straps would allow. At the handover, Claire was quiet and didn't feel like talking much. She was thankful that Heather explained the situation in room 3 for her. Once everything was complete, they began walking out together. Heather was talking, but Claire either couldn't hear her or wasn't listening. She was unsure which, as she just kept replaying the day's events in her mind. Eventually, they made it to the doors and said their goodbyes before parting ways. Claire got into the passenger seat of Derek's car and immediately put on her seatbelt and stared out into the dawn sky. "What, no kiss?" Derek asked, snapping her out of her own mind.
"Sorry," she said, leaning
over and giving him a quick kiss. "What's going on?" he asked. "Was your shift that bad?"
"I don't want to talk about it,"
Claire snapped, surprising even herself with her tone. Derek started the car. "Okay then, babe. You can tell me about it all when you're ready." And they set off for home. Once they were home and had settled for the night, Claire gave a detailed description of her day and why she wasn't herself.
"Fuck!" exclaimed Derek at the end of her story. "Do you have to go do the same thing again tomorrow?" "I don't think I can," said Claire, defeated.
"Well, why don't you just take some time off then? Wait until she's totally out of your way," asked Derek.
"I can't afford to take days off, Derek. You know that," she snapped again.
Claire and Derek were like most young couples these days. Student loans to pay, rent, bills, and all while trying to save for a house so they could start their own family. One thing that always got them through, though, was each other. Not only were they engaged, but they were also best friends. Yes, they had their own friend groups, but they were still as madly in love with each other as they were at the start. Claire knew no matter how shitty she got with him, he'd brush it off and make her feel better. He grabbed and pulled her into his chest for a hug and squeezed her tightly, kissing the top of her head. It was exactly what she needed at that moment. He always knew what to do to make her feel safe and secure.
"Right, I think an early night, well, early day." It was the same joke he cracked all the time, but it still made her giggle a bit inside. "I think it'll do you a world of good," he said as he rested his chin on the top of her head. She nodded into his chest in agreement. They both climbed into bed after their nightly routines, drawing closed the blackout blind they had purchased when they both started working nights, had a little bit of pillow talk, and then slowly faded off to sleep. In her dreams, she was a little girl again in the back of her dad's car. He had just picked her up from her swimming lesson, and he was drunk and angry again, screaming and yelling abuse at her mom on the phone as he held it to his ear.
"You listen to me, you fucking bitch! I work hard for this family, and if I want to have a goddamn drink, I fucking will!" he screamed.
She couldn't hear her mother on the other end of the phone, but she knew she would be giving it back just as good. They always did when they fought.
"Me and the girl are on our way home. You better stay out of my sight when we get there."
He hung up the phone and threw it on the passenger seat. He continued mumbling words like "bitch" and "slut" under his whiskey-scented breath. He turned around to glare at Claire in the back seat, and it looked like it was her turn for the abuse. But just then, Claire looked out of the windshield to see two headlights coming straight towards them. Her eyes shot open. She was in a cold sweat. Using the small amount of daylight coming into the room from outside, her eyes adjusted to the darkness. Eventually, she could see Derek lying on his back next to her, sleeping soundly. She felt a sense of calm wash over her and felt safe again. But as her eyes adjusted more, she could see a figure standing against the wall on Derek's side of the bed. It was the shape of a person. She could make out long hair in the dark room, and Claire, despite her best efforts, couldn't move a muscle. She wanted to scream, shout, grab Derek and wake him, but she couldn't do anything. The figure started moving towards the bed, slowly, twitching and moving unnaturally. When it was closer, Claire could make out its face, the grotesque, scarred visage of the Jane Doe. Horrified, she watched as the Jane Doe ran her fingers over Derek's face, who was still lying asleep and hadn't moved. Jane then mounted him, staring at Claire the entire time, and sat herself on his pelvis. She started rocking back and forth with her hips, enacting a sexual motion. She smiled down at Claire, who in that moment would have killed her with her bare hands if she could have moved. Claire could feel tears running from her eyes from both anger and sadness. She was looking at the love of her life being assaulted by another woman, and there was nothing she could do about it. The Jane Doe had a look on her face that said she knew exactly what she was doing to her. Derek was still in a deep sleep and wasn't aware of what was happening. Claire, struggling to breathe from the frustration, still couldn't move. She looked at Derek, then back at the thing on top of him. The Jane Doe then put her hand to her lips, gently blew a kiss at Claire, and whispered, "Time to wake up," in a deep, demonic-sounding voice. She placed her two hands on his face and started gently stroking it, then moved them up to his eyes. She carefully opened Derek's eyelids with her thumb and middle finger. Jane looked directly at Claire with a huge smile full of rotten teeth and slowly started putting the nail of her index fingers into Derek's eyes. The sound Derek let out was the most ungodly scream any human had ever made, his arms and legs shaking violently in pain. He put his hands on his attacker's wrists in an attempt to escape, but it was no good. He pulled with all his strength, but the hands didn't move, the fingers driving deeper and deeper into his skull. Blood poured from his eyes, all over his face and into his mouth, choking him and making his gasps for air sound even worse. Claire watched on in horror, tears blinding her, until finally she could let out a scream of her own.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
She was woken by Derek standing over her, shaking her by the shoulder.
Claire, wake up!
He shouted down at her. She sat up so fast that she nearly headbutted him. She looked around the room. All the lights were on and everything was as it should be. Then she looked at Derek, concern on his face, and gave him a huge hug.
Are you okay? He said into her ear. You were screaming as if you were being murdered or something.
It wasn't me being murdered, she thought to herself.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
Hey, you're okay. You're safe at home with me. Nothing bad's gonna happen to you, he interrupted to assure her. She nodded and hugged him again.
Right, babe. I've made you a coffee. Time to get up and get ready.
He handed her a hot coffee and then left the room. She wanted to tell him not to leave and to just come back to bed with her, but she knew he would just tell her she was being silly and to get ready for work.
As Claire showered and got ready for her shift, she couldn't shake the horrible feeling out of the pit of her stomach and the images of her nightmare out of her mind. Any chance she could take to look at her fiancé, she would.
They got into the car and headed off. Just like always, they said their goodbye routine at the hospital doors, and she walked in. The entire walk to her ward felt like an eternity with the feeling of dread she had. She was terrified she was going to be on observation duty again. As she approached the nurse's station, she was greeted by Heather. "Good evening, sunshine," Heather cried out in her usual happy tone, then faltered. "Wow, pardon my French, but you look like shit."
"I feel it,"
replied Claire as she threw down her bag and sat in her familiar desk chair. "Rough sleep?" asked Heather.
"Yeah, wasn't the best 8 hours of rest I've ever had. So, what have I got tonight?"
she asked, although she was dreading the answer.
"Good news, you're not on observation tonight," Heather exclaimed as she threw a couple of patient folders into her lap.
The relief that washed over Claire was indescribable. She nearly jumped for joy.
"You'll be looking after Mr. Brady in room 1 and Mrs. Armour in room 5, Heather told her.
Claire didn't care. She was just so happy not to be in that room.
"So, who's on the observation tonight?" she asked. She didn't know why, but she had to know.
"That would be me,"
a voice came from behind Claire. It was Mary. This made Claire feel so much better. Not because she disliked Mary, quite the opposite. She respected the hell out of her. Mary was an old-school, no-nonsense type of nurse. She had taught Claire and all the rest of the nursing staff so much, and she was loved and respected by all of them. If anyone could deal with the situation in room 3, it was Mary.
"Anything you can tell me about her, Claire?" Mary asked.
Claire had 101 things running through her mind, but she thought everyone would just look at her like she was the one that should be strapped to a bed.
"Not really. Just hope she doesn't talk as much as she did to me. She was saying some really weird things,"
Claire answered, hoping her face didn't give away that she was not telling the whole truth. The handover was then complete, and everyone went their separate ways. Claire's night was pretty pleasant compared to the previous shift, and much easier. Mr. Brady was a lovely, older man, your typical grandfather type, and Mrs. Armour was a younger woman who was nice in the brief encounters Claire had with her when she had to wake her to take her medication. All in all, it was a pretty easy shift. She was mostly hanging around the nurse's station talking to the others about life, gossiping about the day shift, and just generally chatting with the girls. At around 2 a.m. in the morning, Mary popped her head out of the door of room 3 and asked if someone could come and cover her while she went for a smoke. Everyone just sat there in silence, a sharp contrast to what they were all like just a few seconds ago.
"Look," sighed Mary. "She's been asleep this whole time, not a peep out of her since I got in here. I just need a smoke and to use the ladies' room, and I'll be right back."
"Fine, I'll take one for the team, again," said Claire as she stood and walked over to the door.
She looked in to find that the Jane Doe was indeed asleep, facing away from the door.
"Just please be quick, though," Claire requested.
"I'll be as quick as possible, hon, don't worry," was Mary's response.
Claire let Mary pass before stepping inside the room. She slowly closed the door behind her so it didn't slam in the middle of the night.
"How nice to have you back, Claire."
She froze. Slowly, she turned to see the Jane Doe was sitting up in the bed, staring right at her with those pale blue, bloodshot eyes.
"Have our little chats been on your mind?"
Jane mockingly asked, eyes never moving and that sickening smile appearing across her face. Claire didn't answer. For some reason, in her head, if she didn't speak or interact with Jane, she couldn't worm her way into her mind.
"Is Derek okay? Oh, he's such a handsome boy. What I'd do to be alone with him,"
Jane said in an attempted flirting manner, as if something like that could flirt. Claire just stared into space, trying to pretend she couldn't hear or that she was unbothered by the mocking.
"You know, Claire, you just ruin everyone you love in your life. Your dad turning to the bottom of a bottle because of you being a little fucking brat, as he called you," she hissed. "And now Derek and what's coming to him because of you."
"Shut the fuck up!"
screamed Claire. She didn't mean for the outburst to come out, nor for it to be so loud. The Jane Doe just started laughing menacingly at her, leaning forward to indicate that if she could laugh directly into her face,
she would.
Oh, Claire, the truth can hurt, I understand. But all humans get what they deserve in the end. Like your daddy. He's been a favorite pet for all these years. He tells us how you're the one that deserves to get what he's been given. He really is pathetic, weak, selfish, willing to trade places with his own daughter to try and save himself. That can only be admired, that level of vileness.
Claire still stood with her back to the door, unmoving, still staring and trying to block this all out, telling herself it wasn't really happening.
It's really quite amazing you turned out how you did. You're a caring human. You look after others despite how disgusting they are, which they all are in their own way. You all are hideous creatures.
The Jane Doe then sat back again, giggling to herself.
What? What are you?
Claire managed to whisper out.
This made the giggle grow into full laughter. Jane sat up again and looked Claire dead in the eyes.
Oh, Claire, you're not that stupid.
She blinked, and her eyes turned black, totally devoid of any color or light. Nothing but inky blackness. Nothingness.
You know exactly what I am.
And with another blink, her eyes were back to the pale blue, bloodshot that they had been. Claire was frozen, terror gripping her entire body. Shaking, yet still unmoving with her back against the door. She knew exactly what she was looking at.
Well, Claire, I've enjoyed our little conversation.
She smiled that hideous smile.
But I'm afraid it's nearly over. I'll be sure to pass a message on to poor old Jackie for you, but you need to pass a message on to Derek for me.
Claire's stomach turned ice cold.
Tell him from me, I liked how hard he got.
As Jane winked at her, Claire felt the door at her back opening and Mary pushing her way into the room. Claire stepped out of the way.
Thanks, hon. I needed that, Mary said as she entered. Then, hey, are you okay?
Claire looked at the bed, only to find the Jane Doe lying back in the same position she had been in when Mary had left the room. It was like she hadn't moved at all. Claire just nodded her head and hurried past Mary. She then went to the bathroom, sat down, and cried. The night went normally after that and without incident. Claire did her rounds, checking on her patients, helping wherever she could with other patients and general housekeeping duties. Eventually, handover time was upon them. It came and went without issue, and Claire walked out the front doors to her fiancé's car and got in. That morning was Derek's turn to cook, so Claire went for a shower. While in the shower, Claire replayed the events of the night. What it said, the eyes, the smile. The terror began to build in her again. It can't be that. It can't be that. It can't be that. It can't be that. She repeated over and over again in her mind. A knock came at the bathroom door, breaking her trance.
Babe? Derek called out. Are you ready? You've been in there for nearly an hour and dinner's ready.
Out in a moment,
was her reply. When did the water turn cold? She hadn't noticed it at all. How deep in thought had she been? She quickly got out and dressed. She then joined Derek in the living room, and they did their usual routine of trying to get some time together before turning in. After an hour, they were both cuddled up in bed. Derek fell asleep pretty quickly, which was the norm, but in that moment, she hated him for it. She needed him to watch over her to make her feel safe. Finally, after what felt like eternity and with the sun trying to fight through the blinds, Claire shut her eyes and fell into sleep. Claire awoke when her hand reached over to Derek's side of the bed, only for it to hit nothing but air and then the mattress. She opened her eyes to find she was, indeed, alone in the bed.
Derek?
She called out. No answer.
Derek, you there?
Still, nothing. She sheepishly stood up out of the bed. It was at this point that she noticed it was dark, a nighttime darkness. It wasn't the daytime.
There's no way he let me sleep that whole time, she thought to herself.
By her guess, she had only been sleeping for a few hours. It should have been broad daylight outside, but it was as dark as the middle of the night. She crept over to the bedroom door and opened it to the hallway. Nothing but darkness. Hesitantly, she stepped out of the room into the hallway, looking up and down the length of it. Nothing but darkness, except for a dull light coming from the living room at the end of the hall. Claire slowly tiptoed her way towards the light, thinking Derek had just gotten up to watch TV. But that didn't explain why she was surrounded by darkness. As she made her way down the hall, she started to notice her home was different. It looked like her home, but it was like it was in decay. The walls had mold and dirt all over them. The picture frames had been smashed. The doors were rotten, and some even had holes in them. She slowly pushed the living room door open to find that this room was the same. The furniture was torn and damaged. Mold and rot ran down the walls. The glass coffee table had been overturned and smashed. At the shock of seeing her home like this, Claire failed to notice one thing. The figure sitting on the couch.
"There's my girl," the familiar deep voice said.
It was her dad.
"Oh, how I've wanted to see you again."
His voice was deeper than she remembered, like he had gravel in his throat.
"Come give your daddy a hug. It's the least you can do for putting me here."
He stood up and turned towards her.
"Me? How did... I didn't..." Claire struggled to try and get the words out.
"You put me here, you little bitch! If I didn't have to run around after you, that crash wouldn't have happened!"
That old familiar anger from Claire's childhood began to rise up inside him. He started taking steps toward her.
"Just like your stupid bitch of a mother. Take, take, take. You are an ungrateful cunt, just like she is."
He was getting closer. Claire tried to back away from him, but was trapped by the wall behind her.
"If I hadn't picked you up, I wouldn't be here. You're the one that should be. You're the one that killed me."
He was only 3 feet away from her now.
It wasn't my fault, Claire managed to whisper.
"What did you say?"
The anger building more. Claire felt like she was 12 years old again.
"It wasn't my..."
Her dad punched the wall beside her head. He was only a few inches away from her face now.
"Say that again."
He was eye to eye with her now. Claire could suddenly feel a fury build inside her. She stood up straight and looked her father directly in the eyes.
"It wasn't my fault that you couldn't go without a drink for a few hours, you weak, pathetic, wife-beating, useless old fuck!" she hissed.
She had wanted to say those words to him for years, but saying it now didn't make her feel any better. Even though he was all those things, though he was a cruel man in life, he was still her dad. Suddenly, she felt his strong hand around her throat, pinning her against the wall. The vice-like grip tightened about her windpipe. Claire struggled to get away, pulling on his arm, clawing, hitting, but to no avail. Her world was going blurry. She struggled to take a breath, and her eyes opened in panic. Then, she heard something. Laughter. She managed to turn her head enough to look over her attacker's shoulder, and there, standing behind her dad, laughing hysterically, was the patient from room 3. Claire could make out her horrible face and disgusting teeth.
"You should have given him a hug, Claire," she said mockingly,
laughing and jumping around in joy. Then the world turned black. Claire sat upright in bed, touching her throat and trying not to scream. She could feel that tears had already been running down her face. She turned to see that Derek was still sleeping peacefully beside her. She wiped the tears from her eyes and looked at the time. It was 2 hours before the alarm was supposed to go off. Claire got up, dressed, picked up her phone and Derek's car keys, and walked out the door. She arrived at the hospital and ran inside. She power-walked to her ward, people staring at her in confusion as she rushed past. She arrived at her ward and headed straight for room 3. Jessica stepped in her way.
Claire, what's up?
She put a hand on Claire's arm. Claire hadn't taken her eyes off of the door of room 3.
Claire, honey, you don't look well. Are you okay?
Jessica continued. Claire broke her stare at the door to look at her.
Get the fuck out of my way, you stupid, arrogant bitch,
she calmly said, pulling her arm back to release the grip on it. Her colleague, clearly shocked at Claire's whole demeanor, stepped aside. She got to the door and burst through it. There was a young trainee nurse sitting in the chair, and the Jane Doe was sitting up in the bed, smiling.
Claire,
she said excitedly.
I wasn't expecting you so soon.
Claire turned to her younger colleague and could see tears were streaming down her face, and she was struggling to catch her breath. She had clearly been mentally tortured, just like Claire had.
Get out, Claire whispered to her. What?
The upset young trainee managed to squeeze out between sobs.
She made me undo the
Get out! Claire snapped, picking her up by the armpit and leading her to the door. She opened it and then slammed it behind her.
Oh, Claire, you seem really upset,
giggled the thing on the bed. Claire approached and got right into its face.
What the fuck are you? She demanded. Aw, Claire, this again? You already know what I am.
Claire stood up straight and, hardly believing the words were leaving her mouth, asked,
Are you a demon? Well, you humans have called us many things throughout the centuries. Demon, fallen angel, fiend, devil, spirit.
Claire stood in stunned silence.
Though, it continued, throughout the millennia, you have been one of the most fun little humans I've had the pleasure of breaking. Definitely more challenging than most. I applaud you for that.
She let out a little chuckle. Claire stood at the side of the hospital bed, gripping the bars. She was somehow unable to back away or to move at all.
So, I'm afraid now our little game is over. But don't be too down on yourself. No human can withstand it forever. It's all just a matter of time.
Suddenly, her hand sprung from the bed as fast as a striking serpent, reaching out and grabbing the back of Claire's head, pulling her down to eye level, her other hand covering Claire's mouth. It all happened so fast that Claire didn't have time to let out even the faintest of screams.
The fucking straps, she thought. She was trying to tell me she had undone the fucking straps.
Claire felt like she had her head in the jaws of a bear. The immense force holding her in place was incredible. She looked up at the Jane Doe, who was starting to stick her tongue out. She smiled at Claire before she slammed her disfigured teeth into it. Violently, she gnashed into the tongue with force and determination, blood flowing from her mouth and flying all over Claire's face. With just 4 bites, the tongue fell onto her chest and blood flowed like a river from her mouth. The Jane Doe then removed her hand from Claire's mouth. Claire breathed in to allow herself to scream, but before she could, the Jane Doe locked her lips with hers. Claire could taste the copper from the blood flow down her throat. She was fighting to breathe, but the hand on the back of her head wouldn't let her go.
It was hopeless. After who knows how long, the world went black.
Claire awoke feeling strange, but didn't know in what way. Her body was sore, painful, and just didn't feel quite right. She could still taste blood, but when she tried to move her hand to wipe her mouth, something was stopping her. Slowly, her eyes fully opened and began to adapt to her surroundings. She looked down at her wrists to see that they were strapped to a hospital bed. In her panic, she started to fight to try and escape, but to no avail. Then she heard the sink in the room turn off. In her panic, she hadn't noticed it was on. She could hear footsteps approaching and leaving the bathroom. As the figure emerged from the bathroom, she stared in shocked horror as the person she was looking at was herself. She watched this other her wipe her face and neck dry.
Well, that was a bit of a mess, wasn't it?
Claire could hear her own voice coming out of this other Claire. Blood is always tricky to get out, don't you think? The Claire in the bed wanted to scream, but she then noticed she couldn't. She had no tongue. She thrashed around in the bed, desperately trying to escape.
Now, Claire, you're going to want to relax. You're losing a lot of blood. You'll want to keep your strength just for a little while so we can have one of our chats.
Claire saw her own face smiling down at her. Then she watched as her own body walked over to the drawer next to the bed and brought out a pack of cigarettes. The other Claire sat down on the chair at the foot of the bed, crossed her legs, and lit one of them. She took a long drag off the cigarette.
Oh, virgin lungs. That's good, this one.
She waved a finger in Claire's direction.
She was much more run down than you are. This is going to take some getting used to.
She giggled, taking another drag.
So, you're probably wondering why this has happened to you, and it is a fair question.
She relaxed back into the chair.
You see, in hell, we were getting pretty bored. Just the same old torturing, day after day. It gets a bit repetitive.
So Eligor came up with a deal. We let one of the pathetic pets tell us about someone they think should be there in their place, someone with a good soul, and we will end their torment for a period of time that matches the value of the soul. So basically, the better the soul, the more time they get in peace.
Another drag.
Funny thing is, though, saying a human has a good soul is like asking someone if they have any good rat pelts, because that's all you are to us. Rodents, vermin, scum. They get about 5 minutes of release, and the look on their faces when it starts up again so quickly, priceless.
It laughed.
So you see, we get to find out who the worst ones already there are, but also get to come up here and have our fun. It's a win-win.
It dragged the chair closer to Claire's bedside. We all knew Jackie was a vile accident of a human, but sacrificing his own daughter? Now, that's just next level. For a human, at least.
She leaned in closer and spoke in a lower voice. Now, you should know this as a nurse. The damage done to that tongue of yours can be pretty fatal. I made sure the lingual artery was severed when I was in there, so there's a good chance of you seeing our Jackie again very soon. However, where would the fun be in that?
She blew smoke into Claire's face. I'm going to go out there and tell your fellow nurses what you did, and we're all going to rush to save you. You'll then most likely be sent to a psychiatric hospital, a nice little padded room, not being able to even plead your case. Though, who would believe you if you could? You'll be locked up, drugged up, and every now and then, you'll remember who you are. You will suffer in there until the day you die. But then, you have so much to look forward to after that. Doesn't that sound more fun? I didn't give a time scale for when you'd be reunited with Daddy Dearest. A few more years won't hurt.
She smiled to herself.
I think I'll use your body for a little while, until the next one. This one feels much better than that disappointing thing,
gesturing again where Claire was laying. It was her husband that chose her, though he did lie. She wasn't a good soul. She was the one that actually killed him. Rat poison in his breakfast one morning. Not very original, in my opinion. Both of them are getting skinned daily now for it, though. I was only able to use it for 4 months. Your body, however, oh, I'll get good use out of this one.
She smiled again.
Just then, Claire heard something familiar. It was her phone ringing. The other Claire reached into her pocket and pulled it out and turned the screen around to face her. It read, Derek. The other Claire pressed the green button, put her other hand over the real Claire's mouth, and raised the phone to her ear.
Hey, babe.
No, I just couldn't sleep. Bad dreams again.
Yeah. Listen, I took the car to come into work early to see if I could take some of those vacation days after all. Do you think you could get time off as well?
We can just have a night in bed. Claire couldn't hear the other end of the call, but when she saw the smile creep onto her own face, she knew what had been said.
Great, babe. I'll be home soon.
She hung up the phone.
Well, I guess I better get going, Claire. Again, it's been real fun destroying your entire life.
She lifted Claire's hospital gown and put the cigarette out on her thigh. Then, she leaned in close to Claire's ear and whispered, "I'll take real good care of Derek." Claire was sobbing uncontrollably as she watched her own body walk out the door.
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join, shop your favorite brands, and save. Target, Instacart, Expedia, Macy's, Sephora, CVS, the list is long. Save online, in-store, and at over 22,000 restaurants. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose PayPal, check, Bilt points, or cash out with gift cards. Eligible American Express card members can choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. Terms and conditions apply. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, order dessert. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
You've been listening to The Patient by Matthew Shaw. Born and raised in Glasgow, Scotland, Matthew Shaw, and I'm not making this up, works in a crematorium and has worked in the funeral industry for the past 7 years. He's the proud father of a 5-year-old daughter. This is his first short story. Also, Matthew specifically requested that I mention that the Chilling Tales for Dark Nights Network, of which Horror Hill is a part, was his primary motivation to take up writing. Matt, that makes my cold, dead heart flutter with unholy warmth. I suppose the takeaway from this story is to embrace your base instincts and more selfish impulses. After all, Claire seemed to be a legitimately good person, and she still got body swapped and damned to hell. So I say, go for it. Have that extra cookie. Honk your horn at that asshole going too slow in front of you. Swap out your grandmother's medication for Tic Tacs. Stab that guy talking in the movie theater. I wholeheartedly encourage you. As an obvious joke and not in any way that incurs legal liability on my part. To go be the best nightmare to society you can be. And while you're doing that, I'll be getting ready for next week's episode of Horror Hill. I'd like to thank Matthew Shaw for tonight's story, and I hope to see all of you next week. Until then, my friends, stay spooky. You've been listening to the Horror Hill podcast, a production of Chilling Entertainment and the creative team at Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. Tonight's episode was hosted, narrated, scored, and finalized by yours truly, Eric Peabody. Additional music by Nikki McSorley. Got a terrifying tale of your own that you'd like performed? Email it to us at submissions@simplyscarypodcast.com to have your work considered for future production. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, why not help us spread our dark presence online? You can follow Chilling Tales for Dark Nights on social media and upvote, subscribe, and hit the bell notification icon if you're listening to this on YouTube. It helps us out a lot, and also keeps you up to date on new episodes. If you'd like access to uninterrupted horror, free of ads and these annoying bookend segments, might I recommend signing up to be a patron? You'll get access to hundreds of episodes of this show, as well as everything from the other programs in the Chilling Tales for Dark Nights cabal. That means all of Scary Stories Told in the Dark, Drew Blood's Dark Tales, and more. It's a veritable smorgasbord of horrific delights. Head to chillingtalesfordarknights.com to get started. If you're looking for someone to narrate or handle audio production for your own personal project, I just so happen to know a guy. Email me at ericpeabodyvoice@gmail.com and we can talk details. That's ericpeabodyvoice@gmail.com. If darkness is what you're after, listener, your search is over. Yet, let it be known, you haven't found the darkness. The darkness has found you.